Well, there's a lot going on in the year 2020. Amidst everything, do not forget the census is still going on. 2020 is, of course, a census year, extremely important for, as we've mentioned throughout the year, a whole bunch of different reasons, not least of which is funding for programs for North Carolina and Orange County. Of course, we're also looking ahead to congressional and state legislative apportionment as well in the coming decade, too. New numbers out of the U.S. Census and Carolina demography have found that only about 59 to 60% of North Carolinians have responded to the census so far. That's a little under the historical trend and a little bit behind other states in the U.S. What does that mean? What do we need to know? We're joined on the phone by Rebecca Tippett again, who is the founding director of Carolina Demography. ncdemography.org is their website. Rebecca, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
So this did the 3-second summary, but what are the latest numbers? What do we know about response rates in North Carolina and here locally in Orange County?
So what we know about in North Carolina is that 59.3% of North Carolina households had responded to the census as of Friday. In Orange County, that was substantially higher, about 69%. But important to keep in mind that even in our top performing counties, which Orange County is number 2 in the state, we still have the top performing state, Minnesota, is over 72% response so far.
What is the range? Like, where does North Carolina fall in the 50 states?
North Carolina right now is 35th out of all 50 states in D.C. So we've consistently been kind of between 34th and 36th during the response time. We're performing above some southern states, but we're also consistently performing below some other states. So, for example, we have states like Alabama, which has a almost 61% response rate, and we had a better self-response rate than them in 2010 by a few percentage points, but they're ahead of us now by a few percentage points.
Yeah, so how do all these numbers compare to previous censuses?
So right now what we're seeing in North Carolina, in 2010, almost 65% of households self-responded to the census, and right now we're at 59%. So that means that we have about 6 percentage point difference, which means that there are more housing units that Census Bureau workers are going to need to go out and count during the non-response follow-up period that starts this week than there were in 2010, not only because we have a larger population, but also just because we have fewer households that responded during self-response. And that's particularly concerning because that non-response follow-up period is going to be shorter, and we're not entirely certain whether it's going to roll out exactly as planned because we have 2 more months of COVID-19 interruptions that could occur.
Speaking with Rebecca Tippett, again, Carolina Demography. You can find more information from them at ncdemography.org, and that includes more information about the U.S. Census and responses that we've gotten so far. So we've talked about this before, too, but just give us an update on this. Who is responding versus who is not responding? Demographically, geographically, what trends are you seeing?
So what we see right now is that we really see pockets of low response clustered in some of our more rural areas. So we see a lot of our lowest responding tracts are in western North Carolina, the Northeast, parts of the coast, and in the Sand Hills region. But we also have, that's not entirely limited to rural, because we do have some low response pockets in our urban areas. So downtown Durham, for example, parts of, you know, Forsyth County outside of Winston-Salem, we see some very low response rates in those communities as well. And what we're particularly concerned about is not just the shift from urban to rural in terms of the population in low response. We're going to see a higher concentration of children under 5, but in particular, we're seeing a much greater concentration of Black, American Indian, and Latinx individuals in the low responding tracts, which puts those groups at risk of an undercount.
Downtown Durham kind of surprises me.
Durham overall has not had as high of a response rate as, and downtown Durham may not be the exact, I'm looking at a very detailed map.
Gotcha.
Very far away right now, in the sense that I can only zoom in so far, but pockets of Durham, outskirts of Durham, and I think also we're talking college towns.
Mm-hmm.
We're seeing pockets of college towns where the students, you don't get your census form forwarded to you. The students were often sent home and were not in their off-campus housing. And it's just creating a real challenge for the Bureau and for the campuses and the communities that they represent to ensure that everybody that gets counted.
So if we're at 59.3%, and assume it'll be slightly higher as of today, so about 60% response rate in North Carolina, what does that mean for the other 40%? How concerned should we be that they're just not going to get counted?
So I think that there's two things going on here. One, we want that self-response rate to be as high as it can be, because that is the most accurate data that we can get about a community. It's also important to keep in mind that the Bureau has a mission and a mandate to count all Americans. And so self-response is just one way that it does that count. They're also, like I said, they're going door to door and starting this week in what's called the non-response follow-up period. Those responses are not captured in the self-response rate. When they go back through and validate the data, we'll find that some of the housing units that didn't respond are housing units that were vacant or maybe didn't exist. So to some extent, that number is not, we have concerns about it, but we also know that that's not necessarily, it's not necessarily that 40% of housing units are able to be counted, so because there may not be somebody living there. And then the real concern where we have is if somebody does not respond to the census and does not respond to somebody coming to their door, the Census Bureau will then, that enumerator may ask a neighbor, they may ask the mailman, they may ask somebody who lives nearby as a proxy respondent about who's living in that housing unit. Or they may use something called administrative records, where they get data from other federal agencies to understand what's going on. Or they may use statistical procedures called imputation. And those are basically educated guesses based on data. And our concern is that as we get further away from people individually responding, you increase the risk of an undercount, and you increase the risk of an undercount and incomplete data for different communities at different rates. So we know that that is disproportionately going to hurt our communities of color, our rural communities, and young children.
And we know, and as you mentioned, the door-to-door period is shorter this year, shortened to September 30th. As you also mentioned, this is happening in the midst of COVID-19, and we've gotten some kind of anecdotal stories here of people who have signed up to do the door-to-door, and just some miscommunication between them and the Census Bureau, people getting called about training sessions that had already happened and things like that. With all of that in mind, how concerned or how confident are you that we're going to end up with an accurate number when all is said and done?
I think that census advocates like myself are very concerned. We're deeply concerned about the quality and the comprehensiveness and the accuracy of this census. We know that the Bureau and that many of the people who are working and leading this are very well-intentioned and are doing their best work, but we're very concerned about, the recent cut. The non-response follow-up period was supposed to go through October 31st. It's recently been cut back to September 30th. And the Bureau had asked for an extension on the time needed to process and clean the data, and that was not granted. So we're very concerned about what that is going to introduce into the count. The challenge is it's also virtually impossible at this time period to say exactly what the consequences will be, and we probably won't know until we see both the census results and the results of what the Bureau does. It's a survey called the Post-Enumeration Survey, where they evaluate their coverage, and that's where we'll get our first look at how off the Bureau estimates the census to be.
And if the estimate is significantly off, I know the Census Bureau over the course of a decade will put out estimations of population growth and change within states, within counties, within cities, and overall in the U.S. If the census comes back and there's a huge disparity between the estimate and what the actual census is showing, what happens then?
I've heard some people float the idea. I believe that there is an option to do a census every 5 years to possibly overcome a potential problematic count. Obviously, that would be a very expensive challenge. I think we don't quite know what happens after that because, this data is, there are over 300 federal programs that use census-derived data to allocate over $1.5 trillion annually, of which North Carolina gets nearly $44 billion a year. This is used, like you said, in the population estimates that are the basis for locally, for example, Powell bill funding for roads. gets derived from that, all the way, you know, to Pell Grants for federal student aid are somehow linked to the census. So I think that we've had challenges in the past. The last two censuses have been very accurate at a total population level with known undercounts for certain groups. We're kind of in a wait and see and hope for the best. And, you know, I encourage you and everybody that is listening to, if you have not filled out the census, ask all your family and friends if they filled out the census, you know, promote it on your networks, and, you know, do everything we can to get North Carolina counted.
Speaking with Rebecca Tippett, and again, ncdemography.org for more on Carolina demography, 2020census.gov, of course, for more on the 2020 census. As we wrap up this conversation, anything else that folks need to know?
I mean, I think just, again, I want to revisit the fact that the census is the most democratic and inclusive thing we do as a country. It's foundational to our representative democracy and also the basis on which trillions of dollars are allocated over the decade. So we just want to strongly encourage everyone to complete the census. Also remind you that it is confidential and that individual results are sealed for 72 years, and then they are released for some of the great stuff we have, like Ancestry.com.
Again, 2020census.gov for more on the 2020 U.S. Census, ncdemography.org for more on Carolina demography. Rebecca Tippett, as always, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Aaron.